This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. I guess it's a timeless question. Why does God allow all the suffering and the evil and the destructive things that we see all around us in the world? Why doesn't He just weed them out? When we look at the divisive and just devastating influences all around us, why doesn't God just get rid of it? Why does He put up with it? This is episode number 24 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks for those of you who are listening every week. It's great to have you here part of us. It seems like every week I hear about those that are joining us for the first time. So I'm super glad that you're listening, and also a big shout out to Ryan, who puts this together, helps produce this every week. And he's always tweaking things, always working on things to make this better for you and better for me. So I really, really appreciate that as well. Well, this week our topic is a part of this current podcast series, which is illustrated by Jesus, and we're looking at these fascinating parables that Jesus told in the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. It was part of His unique teaching style that He would use these stories, these narratives, to sort of really draw people into the spiritual truth that He was trying to convey. And the last week on last week's podcast, we covered a parable that I think is one of His more familiar parables, but this week, I want to talk about what's just simply called the parable of the weeds, the parable of the weeds. Some, if you're old school, you might remember it as the parable of the wheat and the tares. But this is the parable of the weeds, and that's really all my Bible calls it. And it's surprising, the twist in the parable. The thing that's so surprising about it is that in the end, Jesus says that it is God's plan to allow the wheat and the weeds to grow together. And the wheat represents the good here on this planet, and also the people that are belong to the kingdom, where God is building His good inside of them. And the weeds represent the evil on this planet, as well as those who are aligned with the evil one, is the way Jesus put it. And so God's plan was to allow the wheat and the weeds to grow up together. That is, that we live in a world where those two things coexist until the end of time, when He will then separate the two. And I suppose anytime we look at this parable and think about the evil in the world, we want to put ourselves in the good category. We are those who are on the good side, and we're the ones that are always troubled by the evil and the suffering all around us. But you know, the surprise in the parable is that there's a lot of wheat that looks weed-like, and sometimes there's some weeds that look wheat-like, and that's part of what is the shocker in this parable that Jesus wanted us to understand. You may know by now, I've mentioned a few times that I drive a vintage Volkswagen bus. It's a 1973 orange Volkswagen bus camper. It's just classic. And a few years back, I had it. I was down at the beach, and I'd driven down there, and I brought a bunch of my resources with me for a sermon that I was preparing. I had my laptop. And I was working there at the beach, and at one point I got up to stretch. I stepped outside, and I was stretching, and this guy, really long hair, looks like he was a transplant from the 60s. He came walking down the area that I was parked nearby, and he looked at me, and he walked right up to me. He said, hey dude, he said, do you have any rolling paper? And I'm thinking, I'm not sure what exactly he means, and I'm trying to think what kind of paper I might have. And then it kind of struck me that what he was talking about is something to roll weed in, marijuana in, to smoke. And I'm thinking, how do I answer that? No one's ever really asked me that question. I could, and thought, well, how can I have a witness to this guy? I thought I could actually tear out a page of the Bible and give him that as paper. Maybe he would read it before he used it. And I just simply said, no, I don't. And then I watched as he walked away, and he walked by all these other cars and people parked in cars and individuals walking along. He didn't ask anybody else. He just asked the guy with the vintage VW bus. Now, I think that might be, I think he was maybe a little stereotyping me just a little bit. Hey, come on, just because I drive a Volkswagen bus, don't just assume that I have rolling paper with me. I looked at that. Here I was down at the beach studying God's word and preparing for a sermon. I thought, I'm wheat. But he looked at me and he thought, weed. Definitely weed. Well, I tell you that story for a couple of reasons. One is it's one of Ryan's favorite stories. So, Ryan, that was for you. I know you'll get a kick out of hearing that one again. It always makes him laugh. It makes me laugh, too, when I think about it. But also, it reminds me that, a lot of times we don't see ourselves the way, we look to others, the way we look on the outside. It's hard to determine what's on the inside just from what's on the outside. And that is really what is implicit in the parable of the weeds. If you look at it, what happens is that this crop owner, Jesus says, plants wheat in the field, and an enemy comes by and sabotages his field and instead puts some weeds along with the wheat, and they grow up together. He was probably using a weed called darnel, and darnel is this weed that actually looks very similar to wheat, and they grow up together. They're indistinguishable, and yet with time, their roots intertwine, and it's very difficult to pull out one without the other. And in the parable, the workers of the crop owner, who really we are meant, I think, to put ourselves in their shoes. We are looking at the world through their eyes. They say to the master, to the owner of the field, the farmer, should we just pull up all these weeds? And any listener of Jesus' parable back then would have thought the owner would have said, certainly, yes, get rid of the weed. And instead, this is the answer in Matthew 13:29. The owner of the house, who stands for Jesus, says, no, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together. And I love that. God's plan was to allow good and evil to coexist side by side. And then as the parable continues, it says there will come a time that they will be separated. And that at the end of the age, Jesus, in explaining this, is when those will be separated, that God will one day make things right and make this world completely good again, remove all the evil, all the suffering, all the despair, all the destruction, all these influences that in so many ways really go against the beautiful world that God intended. But in the meantime, the surprising answer is no, Jesus says. When you're pulling those weeds, you might uproot the wheat as well. So let them both grow together. In the message, I said that was that's my answer to when I'm asked to pull weeds. I just refer to this verse. No, let them both grow together. That's my go-to verse. It's biblical, not to pull weeds, and I'm sticking with it. But how interesting that God's plan is to allow good and evil to coexist until the end of time. He's allowing that to happen. Why would that be the case? Why is God just doesn't wipe out evil immediately? Why doesn't he just take care of it as soon as it happens? One of the things that I didn't cover in the message, and by the way, this is just an amplification of a message that I gave last Sunday at Green Valley Church. You can always catch it on the Green Valley Church podcast, which podcasts Unhurried go kind of side by side with those as well. But I'm often wanting to kind of linger with it a few days longer, and here it is a few days after I gave the message. And one of the things that I didn't mention, but I think is helpful for us to keep in mind as well, is that God does do some judgment now. There is, it's not that he completely is hands off when it comes to judgment. He is still ruling and reigning in the world, and nothing happens that's outside of his control or his knowledge or permissive will. And one of the ways that judgment happens now is through the consequences of sin. Sin has consequences, and when we make poor choices that are destructive and divisive and hurtful and painful to ourselves and others, there are consequences, and those consequences are a part of what God has built into this world that shows that there are consequences for evil actions and behaviors. Some judgment happens now too. The Bible talks about the self-judgment that we're called to do on ourselves, that we are supposed to critique ourselves according to God's standards and God's word, and we as God's people are called to judge ourselves, and that judgment now is so that it won't happen later on. But when it comes to widespread, radical judgment, God reserves that judgment until later. God is withholding that in many cases until later on. And so we see that sometimes those who choose evil practices get away with it. They're not judged, they're not held accountable. And others who choose good behavior suffer for it. There is this inconsistency in this world now. There seems to be wheat and weeds that are growing up together, side by side, in our world. So why is that the case? Well, I want to reveal or discuss two reasons why that happens. The first reason is really it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. We if God did his radical judgment right now, those of us who are seeking to follow him, who have invited him into our lives and are doing our best to live for him, we still got a long way to go. And there'd be a lot of casualties along the way among God's people if God did his wholesale judgment right now. I quoted Daniel Price and Eric Sorensen in The Message. They wrote a book called Scandalous Stories about the Parables, and it's a great read for how Jesus's parables really catch us off guard and surprise us. And talking about this parable, they said, Jesus knows wheat can look a whole lot like weeds when we are judging it before his final harvest. And there's a lot of purifying and transforming that Jesus is going to do in our lives over time. And if he were to do a hard judgment now and a wide-scale, full, radical judgment now, many of God's people would not survive it. I would arguably all of us, because all of us have those things in our lives that are still, you know, out of sync with God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. In fact, if you think about it, that it's a lifelong process that we're undergoing as believers. When we come to Jesus, we come to him just as we are, and he begins this lifelong process of transforming us and changing us. And it says, when we see him, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is, but not until then. And in the meantime, he's got a lot of remodeling to do in our lives. And so the parable rings true that Jesus told that the wheat and the weed would grow up together. They would be intertwined. And the reason that God doesn't pull the weeds out early is because the wheat would be harmed as well. The wheat would be one of the casualties of that. That is God's people, the people that he's working in. And so one of the primary reasons, according to this parable, that Jesus reserves his judgment for later is because it's for our benefit. But the other reason that I want to highlight is it's also for our impact. And he wants to use us. It's his design, his purpose for us to be intertwined with a world that we're rubbing shoulders of weeds along with wheat, side by side, growing up together, because as we grow together, we influence one another, and hopefully the wheat is the one that's influencing the weeds. Our testimony is we were all weeds once, and as God is transforming us into wheat, we have this testimony, this story that we can tell of how God is a God who takes weeds and makes them wheat. And so, I suppose my favorite quote from the message, I said it a couple different times, but I guess I get to say it a third time here on this podcast, and I said, instead of pulling the weeds out, God wants us to be pulling them in. And I think that's a really important quote. Instead of pulling the weeds out, God wants us to be pulling them in. When we get really agitated about the evil around us, so many times that's our go-to. God, just pull it out, pull those weeds out, uproot the weeds and remove it from us. And we often in our disgust and in our haste will say, I want to remove myself too, as if somehow relocating will make us less influenced and less sinful by just simply changing locations. And so we pull ourselves out, and we want to pull the weeds out. And instead, what God wants is really for us to be pulling them into a relationship with Him, pulling in into the local church, pulling them into a life with Him and a journey with Him that will be transformative for them, just as it was transformative for us. Instead of pulling the weeds out, God wants us pulling them in. His purpose is for us to live side by side in this world, that we might be people of influence. Now, it's super interesting. Later in Matthew 13, Jesus tells another parable that's very similar to this one. As a matter of fact, it's so similar that I'm not going to cover it in the Sunday morning series at Green Valley Church, but for you podcast listeners, here's a little bonus. Jesus tells a parable of the fish in the net. And the imagery changes a little bit. Instead of a farmer, it's fishermen. Instead of the field, it's a lake. Instead of wheat and weeds, it's good and bad fish. And these fishermen put their net down. They pull the fish out. They separate them on the shore, later on the shore, between the good and the bad fish. And it also indicates that God is reserving His judgment until the end of time. But then Jesus says something really interesting to me. He turns to his disciples, and He says, do you understand all these things? And they answer in Matthew 13:51, yes, they replied. Now, I wonder how they said that. In my mind, that's a little bit of an overstatement for them to just give a quick answer, yes. Maybe they said, yes, like, yes, sort of, we understand. Later in Matthew 15, Jesus calls them dull when it comes to understanding the parable. So I have a feeling they still didn't totally get it. But they say yes, and Jesus then follows up with a very concise parable. Again, something we're not going to cover. It's just one verse, but it's so interesting. He says, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And the picture there is of this gracious host who is entertaining guests, and out of his storehouse he brings these treasures, old and new. And the idea here is that the parables, when we understand the parables, like the disciples said they did, at least sort of, when we take a deeper dive into them as we're doing this summer, we have the ability to really take these fresh ways to understand God's truth given to us in the parables and hold them side by side with these ancient timeless principles given to us in the Old Testament and throughout Scripture. Side by side, these two things held together, these ancient truths, these timeless truths that now come to life for us as Jesus tells these parables. We were doing a taco dinner last week with a bunch of friends over, and I loved it. My wife brought out these old plates, platters, bowls that we had that we actually got in Mexico many years ago, and they were really authentic bowls that were beautiful serving. But you know, we needed something different to serve with them as well, and so we have this new taco platter that holds 10 tacos in a circle. It's just kind of a cool looking platter. And seeing the new with the old side by side just gave this richness to the gathering that I loved seeing. You know, each piece sort of had a story to it, but together they serve the purpose for the meal. And for Jesus taking these vivid stories and putting them side by side with the ancient truths of Scripture, it makes these timeless principles come to life for us. And that's what we're seeing over and over again in these parables that Jesus tells us. So again, why doesn't Jesus just uproot the evil every time it shows up in our world? Well, partly it's because we would be at risk as well. We would be uprooted in the process if he were to do that in the most radical way. Instead, he's giving time for us to be transformed, and he's giving time for those outside of his family to be invited into his cultivation process, that transformation that is at the heart of the gospel, that weeds can become wheat, and God is in the process of purifying us and preparing us for eternity when he will, in fact, separate all evil. And it will be a life, a world, as he always intended, as he always created. Well, I hope this is a helpful way for you to think about it. I hope this has sort of made sense for you. I love going deeper into these parables. Someone just this morning was talking to me about this and said, you know, the way God's designed it, it's not that he wants us to embellish or broaden or add to his truth. He just wants us to take his truth and go deeper and deeper into it. And that's what I think this Deeper Dive podcast, this time, the unhurried time that we spend together, is intended to do, to take what we talk about on Sunday morning. Again, you can listen to it at Green Valley Church Podcast and catch it. Maybe listen to it again or listen to it for the first time. But to take those principles, those passages that we look at in that context, and go deeper with that. And these are also meant to stand alone. So if you're just following along in the Unhurried podcast, hopefully, you know, it still is cohesive and holds together for you as we unpack these great truths of Scripture, these great truths, in this case, of Jesus and his parables for our lives today. Well, until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.